This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Shahid Kutin, with me, Kusu Chuang and Tan Chung Han. And we have on the line Aliyah Rahman, General Manager with the Minority Shareholder Watchdog Group.
Aliyah, you spoke to the Malaysian Reserve and you described the appointment of Dato' Sri Idris Jalla as an investigator into the Fellow Global Ventures phenomenon as one which is not impartial because he was a political and, well, still is a political representative of the government. What in corporate governance best practices is the best way forward for FGV at this point in time?
From our point of view, you know, I would like to reiterate our stand that we don't like our politicians to be on the PLC board. That is our very strongly advocating by us, you see. And of course, in FGV, we want to see that there's no politician upper hand taking place. And for Idris Jalla, we have no doubt personally on his ability or his credibility or reputation. But just that we have our concern because he's quite related to the government, being former minister, and also his role in Permandu. So what we want to see that we want someone that professionally independent to do the investigation. In fact, when the FGV announced that the issue also being investigated by the internal auditors, we also have issue on that because auditors being part of the internal auditors being part of the organization, they may also be subject to undue influences. So we want to see independent professionals to actually investigate. And of course, if they want Dato' Sri Idris Jalla to do the investigation, we also want to know what actually the terms of reference and what actually his role. And most importantly, I think the recommendation, moving forward, should be in the best interest of the company, the shareholders, and the stakeholders. Because by having Dato' Sri Idris Jalla doing the investigation, the perception is that the political agenda may gain the upper hand. And I mentioned earlier, I wish to reiterate that it will add more credibility if the investigation is conducted by independent professionals who are not in any way related to the government.
Now, Aliyah, as you alluded to earlier, the fate of FGV and also the bigger Felda group very much intertwined with the political consideration and also the social cost. Now, we keep in mind the over 110,000 Felda settlers who are dependent on Felda and by extension FGV as well. So is it really fair to say in this context to remove the social and the political considerations on FGV level in order to pursue that independent agenda as you prescribed?
You see, you're talking about this political agenda or talking about social agenda. It would be the Felda Holdings, right? But Felda Holdings is the substantial shareholders of FGV. As far as FGV is concerned, being a listed company, you see, it should be more profitable, profitability-driven. It must be more market-driven. I beg to differ that it should be politically motivated. It should be the responsibility of the board and the management is to the shareholders, right? And by doing that indirectly, you're also looking after the interests of the Felda settlers.
Importantly, the Minority Shareholders Watchdog Group has made a justifiable support for board independence and board diversity. But when we analyze Felda Global Ventures board, quite a fair component of the directors on the board are political appointees. Do you think the MSWG, in fact, the regulators, should step in and say there should be a reshuffle of board the board composition at FGV level?
Yeah, I think we're talking about politicians on board. The way we look at it, it's not just FGV. We have a few actually listed companies having politicians on board. And as far as MSWG is concerned, we do not support this. Because to us is that political agenda should never exist in public listed company or government-linked companies. It should be professionally run. And of course, we are talking about especially the active politicians because there'll be a conflict of interest. It can be a dominating situation, this sort of thing. And of course, also the commitment of the person themselves. You see? So, but to us, that if you retired and you have gone through the screening or the assessment by the nomination committee, we've got no issue. But board diversity is very important, because if you have too many politicians on board or you have too many government servants, I'm not against government servants, it's too many, yeah? So I think you don't have diversity in terms of skill set, in terms of experience, in terms of exposure. That is important.
That was Leah Rahman, General Manager of the Minority Shareholder Watchdog Group. She was commenting on the appointment of Dato' Sri Idris Jalla as the independent counsel to establish facts and recommend a way forward for FGV in its current debacle. Very interesting comments there that she's made. Han and Chuang, you both asked her questions. Are you satisfied with the way in which the watchdog is thinking about these issues?
Absolutely, absolutely. Of course, the MSWG are advocacy groups. They are an advocacy group. There is no legislative heft behind them. There is no enforcement heft behind them beyond just the suggestions and the recommendations that they give. But I don't know, because Malaysia is made up of a great percentage of GLC and GLIC-linked businesses. Fellow Global Ventures is no exception. And we this morning talked about how PNB and the stable of companies, whether it's Maybank or Citia or other chemical company, for example, might also be related to to the whole GLC phenomenon. The thing is,
and then there's a real revolving door between cabinet and positions in things like White Oman.
Certainly. And so I think in an ideal context, that is something that we should strive for. But nevertheless, like you pointed out, Chuang, the realities is that the fate of say the likes of FGV again, which contributes about 15% of its net income to Felda at the group level, and also they have the land lease agreement with Felda, and then by extension Felda then uses that money to then basically take care of the welfare of those 112,000 settlers, right? So in the realities of it, I wonder how much we can really just draw that distinct line between saying, okay, this has got to be a corporate move and that's it, this is the hard line, versus the social and the economic class. Again, given the overbearing influence of government-linked entities in the Malaysian ecosystem.
But the paradox is precisely because of political interference, a lot of bad decisions have been made to the detriment of those 120,000 settlers. So, so when you say, we shouldn't separate politics out, we're talking about a particular kind of politics.
Yeah, I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I'm saying that the reality is it's a lot more muddied, right, compared to, having this clear, distinct line between corporate. It is something that I think we all can agree is something that we can strive to, but how do we then wean ourselves off from, what we have currently to, what we strive for?
Well, lots of issues. I think this is one of those stories, the constant theme in Malaysian governance, the question of institutional capture and such. Now, coming back to what's in the news, Permodalan Nasional Berhad, we just talked about it, we just mentioned it, PNB, strategic plan, the five-year plan, bit Soviet there, has started to give a positive results after 6 months of implementation, apparently.
Yeah, so market cap for some of the key investments have gone up by about 25 billion ringgit. Now, just to put that into context, so as part of their five-year plan, Gerard, they plan to...
you do remember Joe Stalin, don't you?
Totally.
First name basis, no longer Joseph.
the goal, the target here is 350 billion ringgit. That's the value of their investments. Currently, the fund size is about 266, so under 100 billion or more to go between now and 2022. So in the 6 months that they have launched, 6 months since November, they have seen some gains here. Now, I think the question here is how much is of this is down to PNB's own doing versus, say, what the market is doing. For example, recall we spoke about this recently, how Maybank's market cap had actually gone above the 100 billion ringgit mark, right? So that obviously, having that feed-through effect into what PNB is claiming right now.
Well, not necessarily because of operational or structural issues, but more because of the dividend reinvestment plan that has allowed more shares to enter the market and bump up the share capital, thereby boosting market value, which is kind of like accounting based and therefore not anything else. But, the whole issue of PNB and Co-op and LTAT and EPF and Khazanah as well. I mean, the Asian Development Bank has made a big deal out of this in the past. I think they wrote a report in 2013 saying that the GLCs have been crowding out the private sector in Malaysia, and I think quite justifiably so. Private investment has been on a downward spiral since then, and since the whole GLC thing was announced about 10, 15 years ago. So if we want, you know, the lifeblood of an economy are the SMEs and the entrepreneurs in the private sector. If we were to crowd them out because every single key industry in Malaysia is basically dominated by a GLC, then what room for the private entrepreneur?
But, you know, in terms of, you know, we always talk about Singapore as some sort of governance gold standard. They have
huge
GLCs.
Absolutely.
And they have the same problem, don't they?
Temasek, anyone? Right, no, but okay, to be fair, just to counter what the ADB said, because like the Asian Development Bank's report was from 2012, and as the team and I, well, when we researched, we came across this other article by the World Bank back in 2016, and essentially they're telling other economies like Tunisia, for example, that hey, you guys can actually learn from the state-owned enterprises in Malaysia. You know, so they actually outline four different lessons. You know, for example, one, establishing an accountable body; two, introducing clear performance indicators; you know, three, aligning various programs with the national agenda; and last but not least, investing on human talent. So, you know, granted, I think there has been this common theme that we often hear from our stakeholders in the domestic ecosystem about how, the overbearing influence and the overbearing presence of GLCs and these, you know, institutional funds, they're just crowding out some of the smaller guys. Yes, when you look at, say, SMEs, they account for about 96-97% of all companies in Malaysia, but their contribution to GDP, for example, is minute compared to, say, these GLCs. So you have that kind of disproportionate contribution. But I think it's important for us to note that there has been this concerted effort, this initiative to try to rebalance that or reduce that gulf between, say, the contributions and involvement of GLCs versus SMEs, public versus private.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the news, top of the hour now, and then we'll have news. And after that, we'll have the opening numbers on the stock market and more analysis on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.